the desk. And I got to tell you, when I quit in 2000, I was glad I did because I could return to being a human being instead of just a machine that cared about nothing other than the bottom line. I'm not proud of that, but I was poor and I decided to be rich. And the way to get rich is in the stock market. This is Real Money. I'm Jim Cramer on Westwood One.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the right way to stop them is
with Barracuda Network, Spam, Spyware, and IM Firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
No doubt about it, the internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much. When I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the internet, too. Isn't it time the internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at Geico.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you.
AM 970, KCMD, AM Brooklyn.
Solid State Radio.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
I've never interviewed him.
It can't be determined.
No.
All right. Yeah.
Hello there. It's 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of September in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day live from the plushly... Yeah, I know, Scott. Live from the plushly appointed... Yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, the Rick Emerson radio program. I understand that I called it yesterday. That didn't really change the fact that... When did Adam Carolla do this? Was it yesterday that he did this?
Yesterday morning.
All right, see?
That's why we should be... We came up with the idea and we always wait too long.
I can't put things off. I just got to do them whenever they pop.
And now Scotty's
head.
Head's going to explode. He's so excited because something rhymes with it.
He's insisting that because we have a title, therefore, because we were calling it Third Person Thursday, that therefore it belongs to us.
Oh, are we doing that today?
No, we're not. Okay. We're not. Here's what happened last night. So I was at my father's place last night. Did I shower last night? I can't remember.
No.
Then you know what's genius now? Is I just said, because we're all in one tiny room here together. Breathing each other's stink. And so we're in this one room, and I said to Sarah just now, I'm like, did I shower last night? And it was just sort of a narrowing of the eyes and a lot of, no. Just sort of a shaking of the head. Right. Well, in any event,
at least we know Screech bathes.
Okay, can you
I
just get,
saw
did
that.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's on my website today, but
I was
gonna
put it on mine, but
there to see.
You can't unsee this. And here's the thing is that I wasn't even warned.
There's nothing really going on there.
It's uh-huh.
No, he has like that. No, he has that.
No, he
ready
has.
To please look. And that makes it dirty.
Stop. Stop.
It's dirty.
Baby Screech is here and ready to please.
Let me just step up for you. I'll be ready to go.
Stop. Stop. Why don't you come here and satisfy Big Daddy Dustin?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I said
that's
soaped,
over the line.
He's soaped up and ready to please is so much better.
Over the line.
Here's the expression on his face is just one of like a, oh yeah. That's really what that is. And you know what it is? It's the beard. The beard doesn't work for him. Some guys, the beard works for. Makes it, you look masculine or otherwise more adult. With him, he just looks homeless. He's not, because he can't grow the beard in.
He kind of looks like Trey Arrow.
Would you like to see me relieve myself in a box?
That's what he's famous for.
Do you have a can of some kind? Trey Arrow wants to please you.
All right. Anyway, I don't even know what I'm talking about now. It's 503-733-2970. Apparently, Adam Carolla yesterday in his very fine morning radio program. Apparently, he was referring to himself, but I'm unclear about whether he did it all day long.
So it wasn't him. It was this news guy, and
Dave Damaschek.
Yeah, he'd do it every hour. And so he did it throughout the whole show.
So Dave Damaschek, with number one sports, he was just saying, well, Adam, Dave Damaschek believes this?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Something bitches.
And it was actually, my friend Jay brought it up, not even knowing that we were planning on doing it. He was just talking about the funny bits that the radio show did.
It's just one of those ideas was in the ether. You know, but here, can you verify for everybody, by the way, that I was actually doing it last week at Dante's? That's where it came from.
It was funny.
It was funny when Rick Emerson was talking about himself.
It was like the days when you would refer to yourself as a talent.
Totally. Not that I ever did that.
You didn't. But it would be funny if you did.
You can call me Miss Ross. So we had talked about making today third person Thursday, and Scotty was just grabbing it and running with it. He was just like, "Oh, we're gonna have your voice guy cut something, and I'm gonna have business cards made, and we're gonna have a poster made up, and we're gonna advertise it everywhere."
I haven't seen him that excited since David Cassidy.
Scotty was all over being third person Thursday. So then last night I was leaving my father's place, and I get this message from Sarah.
Adam Concerto was referring to himself in the third edit.
Whatever. I was a good girl. I stayed in and watched TV last night.
I'm not saying you were drunk. I'm just saying that there was something going on in the background. I couldn't really hear you very well. Maybe it was
TV. It was America's Next Top Model.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
So all I heard was like, referring to himself in the third person. We waited too long. And then it's like, and then he just hung up. So that's it. So I don't know. Adam Carolla. Well, all right. Well, what can
well,
you
we
do?
Could still do it. Now that you've drawn attention to it, it's not copying anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, as long as you give credit. I am not. I have never been shy.
But there's no credit to give. It's just like they beat us.
And it's not like he's... Bob Dole did that for 30 years. He's probably still doing it now. So I'm just saying, God, I got to turn this picture of Screech over because it just commands your attention like some sort of horrible, iconic... I mean, you don't want to look...
It's going to be this year's great stocking stuffer.
Oh, God.
A stocking stuffer.
Does it come out before the holidays?
I bet it does.
It's not a stocking stuffer so much as it is a... there's a joke there somewhere.
There is.
Panty stuffer.
But I'm going to let you do it.
No. Panties, you know, instead of a stocking. You'd hang up your panties and Screech would stuff them. That's the worst thing I've ever said. Jesus Christ, I'm horrified. I just horrified myself there.
Did you even say that?
Yeah, if you hung
He's
them.
He's the program director. Can say whatever he wants. That's why he took the position.
Exactly. Well done, Tim Riley. Raises for everyone. Okay.
He wasn't serious.
No, it's not going to happen. Good God.
All right, we know that.
And then they show this guy, this John Belushi-looking guy below him, who is David Hans Schmidt, who became famous in the sex tape industry. And really, that's some cream you want to rise to the top of. By peddling... Look, can I just tell you this? Anytime you're peddling something, you're engaged in a sleazy business. There's selling, there's moving, there's marketing, there's advertising, there's processing, there's shipping. Then there's peddling. Peddling? Here's the thing, is that people sell movies. People peddle pornography. People sell pharmaceuticals. People peddle dime bags of weed. People sell, cars. People peddle hookers. He's been peddling videos.
I'll be a hooker peddler.
Peddler. Did I tell you that story about the peddler?
I think you did.
I'll tell it again later because I love it.
It's
one
of
my, yeah, yeah. It's one of my all-time... The game peddler.
Yeah.
It's one of my all-time... long story short, the game peddler. And I never get tired of saying it. The game peddler was this guy. He was at a place called the Cottonwood Mall. Still is, I guess. At a place called the Cottonwood Mall in Salt Lake City. Just a big lummox, just a big gum chewer of a guy, and but he had this. It was like the place where you could go and buy and sell video games, and he would sell used video games or whatever. And it really was like at the end of Boogie Nights where they spell Rodriguez with a Q. But he had this new, the game peddler's got a new location, and they literally did the thing where they have the curtain covering the side, and there's like they have the music, and then he pulls the curtain off the side to reveal it, and it was a huge neon sign. And neon signs are cool looking, where it's got with the one neon tube that they, whatever. So a big neon sign that he had paid, thousands of dollars for, I think. And it said game peddler with one D. And I pointed it out to him real quick. I took him aside later. I had the good sense not to do it in public. But I took him aside later and I said, It's Peedler. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, yes, yeah, P-E-D-L-E-R. That's Peedler. That's not Peddler. Peddler has two D's. And he said, no, Peddler has one D. And I said, no, you're a Peedler. And so here's how this is this guy's attitude, which is either like a real obnoxious a-hole attitude or just sort of a what can you do. He just sort of went with it. And from that day on, if you looked him up in the Yellow Pages, if you read his like his web page, anyway, he all of his brochures, all everything he made, they all said the Peedler. They all said Game Peedler on them. So there you go. There's the end of that story. So this guy peedled videos featuring Paris Hilton, Colin I don't remember Colin Farrell having a sex tape.
Oh, yeah, with the model.
Yeah.
Really? I'm sorry.
Back in the golden age of sex tapes.
I'm out of the loop. It was shot in a hotel. Diamond is holding the camera.
Oh.
Wait. Not unlike Fred Durst. In the video,
he didn't even use a tripod.
he is a tripod. Diamond is holding the camera and narrating as he engages two women in various combinations of positions. The tape begins with Diamond in a bathtub narrating what's to come. Hello there.
I think after hearing about what the tape's about, you should probably take the bath at the end.
Seriously. It ends with Diamond introducing one of the women to an act which we will not repeat the Latin name of on the air. Just make him a Latin lover. He is shopping the tape and so forth.
Wow, I'm now a member of Generation X. They moved the birthdays. Generation X is now born in the early to mid 60s through the late 70s to early 80s.
No, that's much
Boomers crap. Now stop at 1960.
No, that's crazy. You know what it is? That's like when they started adjusting dress sizes like in the 90s because everybody in America is fat.
Then millennials were born in the late 70s or early 80s. Sarah Dillon is a millennial.
Now, that she's a Generation Y-er, I thought. I thought millennials were...
There's no Y mentioned in this article.
You no longer exist. So there you go.
So you said it's late 60s to early 80s?
Yeah, they just changed the designations. Without
early
80s, anyone.
Bless me, I was born in 80. So we're all the same generation.
So now we're all
Except
Gen Xers?
Me. No, I'm Gen X.
No, but you. So
That's
but
what
you're,
I'm yeah,
you're a what now?
So Gen X was born early to mid-60s through the late 70s to early 80s.
So you are a Gen Xer,
yes.
According to USA Today. The voice of authority, the American Pravda.
But then it says millennials are born in the late 70s or early 80s.
So you're both. You can claim dual citizenship.
Hmm.
That doesn't make any sense. It's a crap term. It doesn't make any sense.
It's from the USA Purple section. It must be true.
There you go. Happy news for happy people. Let me welcome another Rick Emerson Show, our good friend, Mailman Chris. Let's see how Chris is feeling.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
How are you, sir?
Well, Mailman Chris was warm in the cocoon of narcotic bliss, but now Mailman Chris has been thrown into the...
It's funny. I think that referring to yourself in the third person is funny enough that we could almost roll with it. I just don't... We're not shy about things on this program having been stolen from other... being homages to other people. The only difference is that we do make sure to point it out. Let me just tell you this. I have what I thought was the most brilliant idea. And then I discovered that Don and Mike were doing exactly the same thing. I had this genius idea where I was going to have the listeners make up faux television commercials for this radio show, which we would then broadcast on YouTube. And then I'm listening to Don and Mike like 2 days later, and I hear what's-his-name, Rob Spielberg, going, so we're about 3 weeks into the make-your-own commercial for Don and Mike, which will then air on YouTube. So, these things just happen. They're in the ether, as Cameron Crowe would say. All right, sir, how are you feeling today? You better?
No, but I'm back to work.
Now, your voice sounds better, though, and that's a whole... That's
you do
a bell
sound
letter.
A lot better.
Yeah, that's how you can tell. It sounds like you're on the downward... You're on the downward side of it. You're on the road back. What color is your mucus?
I've got to get over this. I've got a plane flight on Tuesday.
To where?
And, lovely Whitefish, Montana.
I'll skip the Whitefish joke, but this is... you will be reinfected on the plane, by the way, just so you know.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, seriously, when you... What color is your mucus?
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. That's an indicator.
I've been trying not to pay attention.
Oh, that's a lie. When you blow your nose, you look at the tissue afterward. Everyone does. Well, never mind. We'll move on. All right, that was a really sickly inhalation. That was right there. All right, here's what we got today. Why you should never fall asleep in a field full of insects. We also have swimming with sharks, literally, not figuratively, actually, and it's from a listener. We have the worst person on earth to be helping Whitney Houston stay clean. Tim Riley, what watches have we today? It's just a smattering. Give us an
overview. Whitney. Whitney. Corpse. And Hick.
Brittany, Whitney, Corpse, Hick. Mm-hmm. We've got that. Jen Lane will be in later on in today's program. And we've got a list of most frequently challenged and banned books, according to the American Library Association. So we'll get to that. Anybody know what number one is?
What? Scotty, Catcher in the Rye.
No. And see, I always figure it's Catcher in the Rye, too, but it's not. It's been beaten. It was Catcher in the Rye. Now it's something else.
Tom Sawyer?
We'll find out later, won't we? Ah! Rick Emerson will reveal what that is later. Nah, see it? I'm forcing it. That's not working. There we go, sir. That's what we got.
All right. So, said the worst person to help keep Whitney clean is that part of Whitney watch?
Yeah, it's a Whitney watch, yes.
Okay. All right. So, I have falling asleep with insects, swimming with sharks, Whitney, Brittany, Cork, Pick, Jen Lane, and the most frequently challenged book.
Yes, there you go, sir. And are you out on the route today?
I am.
All right. Well, we'll deliver heartily and with gusto, and we will check in with you at the end of the day. But where am I? Push-up was 58?
60.
God damn it. All right. Well, we'll check in with you later on, sir.
All right. Talk to you then.
There you go. Drink plenty of liquid. Stay off your feet. Oh, no. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Excellent. So you stayed in last night. You stayed home.
No, well, I went over to my friend's house, and we drank some wine and watched a bunch of Simpsons and Friends and America's Next Top Model, because I don't really watch TV anymore because I don't have cable. So I watched like 6 hours of TV. It was awesome.
Is that the one with Naomi Campbell?
With Tyra Banks.
Oh, okay. Who's the model that hits people with a phone?
Naomi Campbell.
I heard that. Is it true that she hit somebody with a diamond encrusted BlackBerry?
Yes, her assistant.
That's fantastic. All right. You know, anytime you see a diamond encrusted BlackBerry, you know that person is bad news. Let's see. Well, we already teased a bunch of stuff. Tim Riley, though, is working on the following stories for your edification today.
I will not withdraw from Iraq, even if Laura and Barney are the only ones supporting me, says the president.
There you go.
6 out of 10 Iraqis favor attacks on U.S. troops in Iraq. The Pentagon hires a PR firm to spin good news about this. And Brittany fires her publicist.
There you go. Does Heidi Klum host some modeling show? What am I thinking?
Yeah. She does. She has Project Runway.
Every model, over, they all drift together in my head. Every single model. They all is just one big amorphous. So what is the difference between Project... I can't believe
Project
I care
Runway
about
is about designers. Mm-hmm. She brings people in to design clothes. And Tyra Banks just likes to belittle people and try to glom onto her early years.
Like to remember.
By showing like old pictures of her. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, she's put on a couple pounds, and I'm not saying that, you know, that my weight doesn't fluctuate, but I'm not paid to look good. And she's wearing this moo-moo thing last night. It's terrible.
It's fantastic.
And she's sitting there belittling other girls, saying their foreheads are too small and like they're this and that is ugly about them, and she's up there in a moo-moo.
The really horrible thing about insulting the size of somebody's forehead is, what are you gonna do? It's not like a thing where you can really get a vice.
They did this thing called threading, which is really messed up, where they take these pieces of thread and they like rip out your hair from the root. So this girl had a really small forehead, and they ended up threading her hair back like a centimeter.
So they basically shave part of the front of your head.
They shaved it except for the fact they rip it out and it's painful.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. All right, and so forth. We've also got, I got this terrible obituary thing to get through. Plus, Susan Reynolds is going to be here.
So we ask you to bring in Bob Newhart because he's out in the bookstore.
Is Bob Newhart on? Seriously, this is our niche right here. Our niche, the golden age of comedy.
Bob Newhart, now in book form.
I don't know if it's technically the golden age of comedy. Because Bob Newhart, that's, he's like a 60s guy. The button-up mind or button-down mind of Bob Newhart?
He started in the early 60s.
People don't, you know, there's a whole lot of guys, people just don't, they don't recognize how great some of these comics were in their time. Like, we were in the promotions meeting this morning. We brought up the Tim, and same thing, Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. Yes, Harvey Korman is dead. And we had to point out very painstakingly that Harvey Korman is not in fact dead.
We bring people back to life on this program.
That's really what it is. The show is so great that it actually reanimates the careers of, yes. Anyway,
we did it for Don Rickles. We can do it again.
It's true. And can I just tell you this? And I don't mean to sound morbid about this, but there really is part of me that, I'm not saying I want Don Rickles to die, but there is part of me that just, I know this sounds horrible. I sort of
part of you wants him to die.
No, I don't. I don't want Don Rickles to die. I'm just saying,
Look, well, I mean, look, do you ever sort of anticipate the deaths of people you know? And you sort of, I'm not saying you fantasize about it, but you sort of think about it and you think about, how will I react? I'll start working on my reaction now so I'm prepared. You know what I mean? Do you do that with anybody?
No.
I'm not. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a celebrity. Well, you're like, what will I say when... Like, you know what I think about? I think about, like, Paul McCartney. Because, I mean, he'll be the next to go. Because Ringo, of course, will be the last... Ringo and Yoko will be the last one standing. We all know that. Everybody's aware that Paul McCartney will be the... You know, he'll be the next Beatle to go. And so sometimes late at night, if I'm in bed, can't get to sleep, just staring at the ceiling, I'll sit there and I'll think about what I'm going to say and how I can spontaneously look bereaved when I hear that Paul McCartney is dead. These are the things I think about. And I kind of do that with Don Rickles, too. Like, I confessed to Susan Reynolds the other day that, again, I'm not wishing that Don Rickles dies as such. But, I mean, he's like 100. And so I was just saying...
No, you just want your picture to be more recent.
That's what I'm saying. Well, here's what I want to be...
more morbid.
I want to be able to go like, yeah, we talked to him just last month, too.
I see.
I was one of the last people to see him. I want to be like Ed Till. Remember how Ed Till, you would have to hear that story? Like every 90 minutes from Ed. I was the last person to see Stevie... I can't do Ed Till's voice.
Stevie who?
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh.
He was... there's a story... I mean, and I know we've all got our equivalents here, but there was a story that he told literally like, it was like every 5 minutes on the show. You know, I are on the Ed Till show.
Ed, I'd like to talk about Chick-fil-A.
I was the last person to see Stevie Ray Vaughan alive. And then he would talk about how he was at some music festival and he shook hands with Stevie Ray Vaughan. And then he got into the helicopter and flew off to meet his destiny on that storm-tossed night. Or whatever. And it's like, you would have to hear the story.
That's kind of a cool story,
like, it is a cool story, but I mean...
You're just kind of jealous, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't have anybody like that. Here's the closest thing I've got. The closest story I've got to that is that I saw...
A picture of Don Rickles?
Is that I've got a picture of Don Rickles in which he's still alive. And he's still alive now. And with every passing day, the photograph becomes less valuable. That's the thing. With every day that Don Rickles is still alive, my story becomes less interesting and loses its replay value in the future. So I'm saying... I wish him a long life, but God forbid if we'd gone to see him and then, you know, bam, you know, piece of Skylab hits the bus and he's gone. Think of how it adds extra glow to the story. This makes me sound like
a terrible
person.
So we have
person,
to pick a celebrity and bring them here knowing that they might not be on the
screen. And then kill them.
Is that why you keep booking really old celebrities?
How about, all right, I have one for you here. How about Dick Clark?
Well, I mean...
Just to spite you, he'll live to be 120. How about Castro?
Well, especially
he's
because,
another one.
I mean, Dick Clark was already on, he was on track to live to be like 500. And I mean, he's using so much less energy now that he probably, his life is going to be extended. I sound like an a-hole. I really do. All right, again, for the record, I'm not hoping that Don Rickles dies. And my point, though, is that Tim Conway and Harvey Korman are doing the farewell tour, and so they're going to be coming through town November 17th, and Tim Riley and I are very excited about it.
Yes, we are.
It's a little bit before Sarah's time. It's almost before my time, actually.
It's taking place in a swank location.
It's at the Schnitzer, which is very cool, and I'm sort of on the cusp, as they say, of being around, you know, for that era of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's in reruns constantly, and they cast a big shadow, and they're very cool. And Bob Newhart, man, that should totally be our thing. Because there's nobody, I mean, I keep saying... Every time we book somebody like this, I keep saying there's nobody left from that generation. But, I mean, there's Bob Newhart. Who else? Is there anybody else?
Carlin.
There's Carlin. Yeah, we'll never get him, though. He's too big. There's nobody. There's Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby, he's heading towards death. I mean, not like right away, but, I mean, he's definitely in the last third, I would say. This is a really terrible
Ruth
conversation.
Buzzy.
yes, exactly. And what's his name? Artie Fearn. See if you can get Artie Fearn. Is that the guy?
Artie Johnson. He's dead.
Who's Artie Fearn? Is that the guy from
Laughing? No, Art Fearn was on Johnny Carson's Tea Time movie. You got all these people. He's already dead. We know he's dead. We can't get Art Fearn here because he's not a real person. He is somebody played by a now dead person.
He's fictitious and
Art Fearn did not go on a farewell tour.
His farewell tour was just from standing to the floor. That was his tour.
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. Steve Lawrence. All right, I'm going to get a checklist on the wall. Get off of the Slauson cutoff. Get out of the car. Cut off your Slauson. Okay. I got to turn this picture screech over because it's distracting to me. We'll talk about this Gen X thing, too. We should break... Oh, you're posting it, aren't you? You're posting the picture.
All right, I got the video on my website also.
No, the video of the screen. How much video is there?
Not very much. Only a couple of minutes.
Is there audio?
Yes, there is.
Is it profane?
No.
Is it airable?
I don't remember.
We'll talk about during the break.
We got a break here in a second. Gary Baumgarten's coming to the bottom of the hour.
Maybe.
Let's talk about it endlessly with Gary Baumgarten on hold, listening to us talking about Screech having sex. And then Ed McCarthy's going to talk about Terrell Owens.
He's a New Yorker. He can handle it.
Yes, he's tough. Let me ask you this about, stick around. We'll come back. We'll talk to Gary Baumgarten. I want to talk to you about this Screech sex tape, Tim Riley. Because you are the news authority on the show.
I am, yes.
Okay, I'm so ashamed. Let's break. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Rick Emerson Show. All right, here we go on AM 97. Solid State Radio. And now, AM 970 presents the Encyclopedia Portlandia.
Mount Tabor is an extinct volcano lurking in the heart of southeast Portland, Oregon. Now the center of a city park, Mount Tabor is one of three volcanoes to be located within the Caffeine City limits. The site is also surrounded by six gigantic reservoirs, each ringed by exotic metal and concrete barriers. The entire mountain is now part of a nationally recognized historic monument and was designated as such in 2004. In a true case of waste not, want not, half of Mount Tabor's volcanic cinder cone was removed, pulverized, and used to pave a nearby parking lot. Mount Tabor is declared by authorities to be completely safe, as far as anyone knows.
This has been another entry in the Encyclopedia Portlandia from AM 970, Solid State Radio. Add your name to the list of businesses transformed by the marketing power of AM 970. Call Dean Snyder at 503-222-1011 and tell him you'll be advertising right here in this space. After all, you're listening, aren't you? Aha! This is AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan invites you to celebrate their birthday. Enter to win one of Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan's birthday surprises and check out the Nissan year-end clearance. Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan. Go to TonkinWilsonvilleNissan.com.
When you wake up in the morning, you have two choices. Join the mindless babbling multitudes or stand apart. Shake off the shackles of mediocrity and demand something more. Don't let your life and brain be molded by repetitious political pinheads and moldy, monotonous music. Join us and let the ignorant fall by the wayside. Radio.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's Muy Grande.
Cut! These are really big nachos with a really big taste. We need a bigger sound.
Oh, my fault. Let me try again.
Take two.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a monumental mound of overflowing flavor.
Cut! Better, but let me explain. We're talking tasty corn tortilla chips heaped with savory refried beans and a mouth-watering blend of melted pepper jack and cheddar cheese, all topped with a spicy enchilada sauce, sour cream, black beans, zesty salsa fresca, and rich, full-flavored guacamole. It's a monstrous flavor extravaganza of epic proportions.
Oh, gotcha. Really big taste. I know, I can do that.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a humongous explosion of crunchy, cheesy, saucy satisfaction that will blow your taste buds away.
Cut, and that's a wrap.
Nachos Grande, new at Taco Time.
Okay, team. I decided the best way to ignite raw creative brilliance would be to actually experience the J. Lee Gladstone Honda dealership. Now, your job is to act like a regular customer looking for a great deal on a new Honda. Questions?
Sir.
Yes, Cecil.
Won't they pound sandwich like a piece of raw sushi?
No.
But won't they go back and forth to some dude in a tie with bad smoker's breath 16 times trying to sell us cars?
No.
Won't they try to screw us on our trade-in?
We don't have a trade-in, you moron.
Sweet! I was getting all stressed out.
People, this will not be like the typical car buying experience. J. Lee Gladstone Honda keeps it simple and respects your time and your budget.
I'm going to test drive a brand new Honda S2000.
Roscoe.
Yeah, boss.
Lock Cecil in the trunk.
You got it, boss.
Wow, it's really spacious in here.
If you're looking for a new Honda, go to Jaylee's Gladstone Honda for a great selection of Hondas. Take exit 9 off 205. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from City Center. Or at GladstoneHonda.com. You'll be glad you bought in Gladstone.
This weekend, the most spectacular event is happening at only one place in the entire Northwest. It's the $39 Used Car Advantage Sale at Metro Auto Wholesale, the largest used vehicle dealer in the state. Metro Auto Wholesale has been exclusively chosen to sell over 500 vehicles from bank repossession, lease return, pre-owned cars from auctions across the state. These are 95 and newer vehicles. Most still under factory warranty. And they include all makes and models, imports, and domestics.
For only $39 down.
You can simply make one small payment and the vehicle is yours. Only at Metro Auto Wholesale. 73rd and Southeast Foster Road. During this $39 used car advantage sale, you can pick your car and pick your payment. Don't worry about past credit problems. All credit applications will be accepted. Metro Auto Wholesale's on-site lenders will instantly approve your credit and pay off your trade. No matter how much you owe. Over 500 vehicles. $7 million in inventory. And for just $39 down, you can pick your car and pick your payment. Don't miss the $39 used car advantage sale. Only at Metro Auto Wholesale. 73rd and Southeast Foster Road. $39 down based on approved credit. View Metro Auto Wholesale's expanded inventory in person or at MetroAutoWholesale.com.
Money! What's that spinning sound?
Saturday, September 30th, between 11 and 4, the experts at Lowe's are offering tips on ways to save on your energy bill. Plus, Lowe's is taking 20% off all weather stripping. Buy any special order Thermastar by Pella vinyl replacement window and get a free upgrade to Energy Star and Energy Saving Glass. Plus, for one day only, get 50% off select compact fluorescent light bulb multi-packs. While supplies last, see store for details. So start your Saturday at Lowe's. Lowe's, let's build something together.
AM 970 makes your daily existence bearable with Stephanie Miller, Jim Cramer, Rick Emerson, Tom Likas, and the Don and Mike Show. Lock it in, spread the word, and feel your life growing richer by the day. This is AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Tonight, a miniature crime scene is CSI's biggest mystery yet.
No prints, no fibers, but the blood inside matches the victims.
New episode CBS Tonight.
If you haven't heard the Stephanie Miller Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. And surely Jimmy Buffett wants to donate 85% of his money to my charity, the Gates Foundation. I guess he did pretty well on the royalties for Margaritaville. Now I can add in my collection of action figures. I can make my Darth Sidious fight my Transformer Cybertron. I can make my regular Spock fight Bizarro Spock from the Mirror Mirror episode. I can make Harry Mutz hustle with the Imperious Leader from Battlestar Galactica. And I can put Princess Leia in a three-way with Captain Kirk and Mini-Me. Don't tell Mom. I mean Melinda. Or Melissa, whatever her name is.
Oh, good. He can complete his doll collection. Oh, Lord.
Let's listen. Stephanie Miller. Mornings at 6. Only on AM 970. Solid State Radio. All minds are open. Call Rick Emerson at 503-733-2970. This is AM 970. Solid State Radio.
That's a fine idea. Because here's the thing is, you know that we'll start to play it, and as soon as we begin playing the Screech sex tape, that's when Gary Baumgarten's going
to
call.
That's a good way to get him to call.
Yeah, like washing your car. And then, oh, God. Next. My point, though, is this John Belushi-looking guy who's peddling the sex tape, he looks exactly like a guy who sells sex tapes for a living.
Ew.
And can get you like Ukrainian whores. All right.
Yes, that's pretty accurate.
What do you want? Do you want small boys? I give you small boys. Do you need garden hoses? What about shingles?
It's the Rick Emerson radio program. God help us all. This email says about Artie Johnson. Rick, pleased to be telling Tim that Artie Johnson is still with us on this earth. Why does Tim think everyone is dead? Says Corinne. I don't know. And it's true. It really is our default setting to assume that any and all celebrities are gone. Who I was thinking about this the other day. Who was I thinking about the other day? I couldn't figure out if they were dead or not. Well, Ruth Buzzy, for one. You don't even know who Ruth Buzzy is. That's how I know you're not a real Gen Xer. Where's the USA Today that had that?
a real Gen Xer. Like, you make the rules.
No, I do make... No, I'm not... I would think that you would not want to be a Gen Xer.
I just don't care either way.
It just mystifies me that they continue to retrofit this. To make it... You know what it is?
The only reason I'd want to be a Gen Xer is because Douglas Copeland, who's my favorite author, wrote a book called Generation X, who actually coined the term Generation X.
Which he regrets, I think. I'm pretty sure that he wishes he hadn't done
it. I don't know where it is.
Anyway, but here's... But I would like to know, because I don't want to get sidetracked by this, but here we are. USA Today had this whole thing about Generation X, which they've said is now... Tim had the story. Hey, Tim... If Tim Riley could please, Tim, if you could join us in the studio, he's off at the mobile newsroom. The only thing I would be curious to know is if this retrofitting of the Gen X starting point affected the boomer starting point. In other words, is this just because boomers, because they wish to appear younger? Because that's really that is the raison d'etre. That is the leitmotif of
you
all
baby boomers.
You can't
remove that waistline, I tell you.
That's all it is, man.
You keep changing the bar, but you can't move that waistline.
Everything they do is motivated by the desire to, A, remind us how much better music was in their day, and, B, to seem younger than... Okay, here we go. Those who study generational questions differ on exact birth years, some are more clearly defined than others. Key traits. Baby boomers. Born 46 through 64. Well, there you go. And because it used to be 60. That's the thing. You have to be born in the 60s. So now by half a decade now, they've started to make baby boomers younger. What do you suppose their defining traits are? Tim?
I don't know very many of them.
Well, Tim?
There aren't any here, really.
No. Are you kidding? Have you been to Kink? It's nothing but baby boomers over there.
Oh, right. See, I just in our little environment.
No, like if you squint a lot, you could just picture them all dancing nude in the mud somewhere. Doting parents who have earned the term helicopter parents.
What? No, I've never even heard that.
That's because it's made up. That's because this guy...
Those little extras look like billy goats with those gray beards and funny haircuts.
No, helicopter parents is clearly one of those terms that's being made up by the media. It's from the news because in newspapers there's a few different departments. There's like the city desk and there's like the people section and the metro desk and then there's the taking things right out of our ass desk, and that's where that's from. Earned the term helicopter parents for possibly meddling too much in the lives of older children. Boomers get along well with their offspring and often try to spare the kids the pain of failure. And also they heal lepers. They seek quality time with their kids. Their kids who are horrified by them and embarrassed by them at every turn. Generation Xers. Born early to mid-60s through late 70s to early 80s, thus encompassing Sarah Dillon. Proactive and concerned about societal influences, they say. Particularly because many were latchkey kids. Left at home while parents... The thing about this is, here's the thing about being a Gen Xer. The problem is I see with being a Gen Xer, and I'm not complaining about it as such, it's just that, like, before I was even out of high school, they were making excuses for why I was going to be a failure in my life. That's the thing.
No, they said that my age. I was part of the me generation.
Is that... Now, see, but the me generation, here's what's not even listed. They don't list the me generation, no. And they don't list... If you ask Clyde what he is, Clyde actually is... He identifies
he's
as...
He's a me.
No, he's... Don't ever see... You don't want to say that. You don't want to be using that for Clyde Lewis is a me. That does. Clyde said he was a tweener, and a tweener, as I understood it, was between baby boomers and Gen Xers. Now, did they say you guys were going to fail? I thought you guys were all just doing blow and rolling around nude at Studio 64 with the or Studio 54, whatever the hell it is, with Bianca Jagger.
No, I was never a part of such things.
I'm a newsman.
Right.
you just hovered above it in a saline-filled bubble and reported on it.
And you will notice that people over 40 grew up in a world where they made decisions to please their parents.
Exactly. I have no such concerns in my life.
I was one of those people who got in my car and waved goodbye and never came back.
Tim was just here a second ago. I mean, no, you're donning your fedora, your tweed coat.
I took a vacation to California and never returned.
But I remember being in high school and having these stories about Gen Xers are expected to be the first generation not to fiscally outperform their parents. They will all end up poor and covered with lesions living in a box.
Everyone ends up deep in debt.
That's the thing. And they don't like to work. They're shiftless and lazy. They're often pockmarked and blistered. You know, just all of
these... They won't take their place in the assembly line like their father.
Generation Xers apparently want to spend more time with their kids. I guess that's code because we're being fired, apparently. Gen X dads are very hands-on and arrange their work schedules to be involved in day-to-day. This is such crap. Gen Xers take great pride in family stability and are also proud of the fact that many mothers opt to stay at home. This is stuff that they're just making up. I think that there was somebody short on a deadline. Who wrote this? Sharon Jason. Okay, that's a fake name. Especially if Jason is spelled J-A-Y-S-O-N. That's a fake name.
We know someone whose name is Jason, but theirs is spelled different.
This was clearly Sharon Jason was short on a deadline, and she had to get this done. We'll talk to Gary Baumgartner.
It's like, what's in and what's out? Every week in Entertainment Weekly.
What's in, what's out, what's hot, what's not is the conventional wisdom, up or down. And then another thing, that story? That's that story they put out every single year, which is it's one of those recycled stories. Mm-hmm. Is this Gary? All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. We'll just bring him in on this. How are you, sir?
Very well, and now how are you?
I'm okay. We were just talking about... Now, may I ask this? May I ask what generation you consider yourself to be part of? Are you classed as a baby boomer, Gary Baumgartner?
Yeah.
All right. And so we were just talking about this thing in the USA Today where apparently baby boomers are now anybody born from 46 through 64.
So big swath of people.
Well, they seem to alter this every couple of years.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway...
Who are they? Who are these invisible theys who determine this?
Well, this is USA Today, so, you know, take that with the entire salt factory. I would say that anything from USA Today has about a 1 in 3 chance of just having been made up by some intern copywriter. Anyway, yesterday we were talking to a friend of ours who does sort of some media analysis for us, and we were talking about this story that won't die, which is just Bill Clinton versus Fox News.
Right.
And is it true, now, I did not hear him say this, but is it true that Roger Ailes from Fox News told the AP that Bill Clinton's behavior to Chris Wallace was in fact, and I'm quoting now, quote, an assault on all journalists everywhere?
That is an exact quote.
Okay, that's ridiculous. I mean, I understand that Roger Ailes' job is to go out there and stir things up and to antagonize folks, but, I mean, it does seem like... this was either structured or planned in advance by either one or both of these parties. It was either Clinton had some larger plan for going on, knowing he was just going to get hit and he was going to have to hit back, or Fox did it because they got to shore up their conservative base or something, and they wanted a guy on that they could just paint as a boogeyman. I mean, doesn't that seem likely?
You know, I can't speak to the reasons. I know that Clinton's people were shopping him around to all the networks to talk about his global initiative program, and that's ostensibly why he went on Fox. And perhaps he forgot that when you go on a national network or even on this program or any other program, that you might be asked a question other than what you hope to push when you sit before the microphone. And he was asked some tough questions, and I thought he handled them well. Some people say that he did get red in the face, and that he didn't handle him well. But, I mean, Chris Wallace asked some tough questions, which journalists are supposed to do. And the former president was candid in his response, which is kind of refreshing, whether you agree with what he says or not. He was right there. He wasn't tiptoeing around the issues that were tossed at him. And it got contentious.
It is worth...
we're all big boys and girls in this business.
It is worth noting, and see, here's my thing about Roger Ailes out there saying is that Bill Clinton said, this is their attempt to paint this after the fact as though Bill Clinton came on and was just a lunatic somehow, which he clearly wasn't. It is worth noting, by the way, that people who are on the internet any length of time may have noticed this, that if you go to Fox News' website, all of the context around Bill Clinton's comments has been removed from all of their video clips. If you watch any of the video clips on Fox News' site, all you see is Clinton, like, screaming in that moment where he was pounding the table. You don't see any of the questions. You don't see any of the context. And if you go to YouTube.com and you do any sort of a search for Fox News, you'll note that there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of video clips on YouTube that are of Fox News interviewing various people, their anchors talking to various celebrities. The only videos on YouTube that Fox ordered a cease and desist on were the videos of Bill Clinton being interviewed by Chris Wallace. So it's pretty telling to me that Fox is going out of their way to make sure that nobody is going to see the full this full interview ever again. I mean, Fox seems pretty embarrassed by the fact that their guy got schooled by Bill Clinton.
So you think that they want it out of context?
I'm saying I'm saying that there's all kinds of Fox material archived all over the internet, some of it officially, and again, some of them in places like YouTube. The only thing that Fox issued a cease and desist order for, to have them take it down, was this Clinton interview. And I mean, they don't come off looking especially good in the interview itself, so it's kind of interesting to me that they're trying to make sure that nobody really sees that.
And it becomes a cause celeb. And he, of course, Ailes, as the head of Fox News, is pushing forward the discourse on this to make it just that, a cause celeb.
Yeah. Hey, is there another guy named Gotti on trial in New York right now?
Not anymore. There was a hung jury for the third time in a year.
Is it? What do people... it sounds weird. Maybe you can answer this. What do people in New York think when they get a card in the mail telling them they got to do jury duty? And then they get there, and it's like, the defendant is blah, 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 Gotti. I mean, do people just try to get out of that? I mean, are people legitimately freaked out?
Because it's half of your, about 6 months or 5 months or 4 months of your life that's, hung up in a jury box because the case is so extensive.
Well, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about having to be a juror,
Oh, you mean because somebody might be ringing your doorbell and saying, you better not...
I mean, does that really happen? Does that really happen, like in a Gotti case now, in 2006, or is that just a thing that only happens in the movies? Like, is there any evidence that when there's some mob guy on trial, that there's, that some jurors getting accosted outside of a, outside of a bagel store somewhere, being told, like, you guys better have a hung jury?
Yeah, well, there have been no such allegations in these trials, but it has certainly been intimated by Curtis Sliwa, the founder of the Guardian Angels and the radio talk show host here in New York City, who was kidnapped, allegedly at John Jr. Gotti's orders, and then shot in a stolen cab that he hailed in front of his apartment building on his way to work one day. And, he just can't believe that the jury is hung again a third time. It's just, to him, a travesty. And the fact of the matter remains that there's no way that anybody believes that the government's going to try him a fourth time. So, basically, if you believe that he did what they allege that he did, he got away with it. And he did it with a very interesting defense, which even a former assistant U.S. attorney, who's now private practice, told me was just brilliant. And that is, he says, well, yeah, I was the head of the mob, but I renounced that. I renounced it, and there was a statute of limitations now as a result of that. And, there's no continuation of the crime, and... You can't acquit me, and the jury apparently bought that three times, or at least one member of the jury bought that three times. And
all you need is one. I mean, that's the latest.
Right,
it's like fixing an NBA game. All you need is one ref on your side. What I mean?
And so now we have a new Teflon Don. His father was the Teflon Don, and now he is like Teflon Don number two. Man. Now he claims he's going to sell his big estate on Long Island and move to the Midwest and just be a regular person.
He's going to live outside an orphanage and treat sick children.
That's what he
All right. Hey, is a final question about this, and I don't know if you're heard of this or not. Is Naomi Campbell in court? Is it today?
Yesterday she was supposed to be in court, and this is very kind of interesting because
this is where she beat a woman with a crystal-encrusted BlackBerry, right?
Yes, she threw a BlackBerry, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't show up in court.
Oh,
the judge ordered a bench warrant.
Fantastic.
And then the defense attorney, they had a sidebar, and there was some kind of excuse, and then they removed the bench warrant and rescheduled.
Oh, that's too bad.
Which is what I'm sure they would do for you or me.
No. They issued a bench warrant for me one time, and then they just threw me in jail the next time they found me. So that's a true story, by the way. We've talked about that. To be fair, though, I think it's because I actually never showed... It was just like a speeding ticket. I think I actually never showed up to deal with it. I think I just sort of... I think I got the letter in the mail and I sort of tossed it in the trash with some old pizza.
Right.
And sort of forgot about it. So, we found this out with Sarah. There's a woman who destroyed Sarah's car. Slammed
it. I remember that story. Because I remember just after that she was out searching for...
Yeah.
She was out searching for the lady,
The best part is that story happened months and months and months ago. And apparently, when is it delayed now for...
She's delayed it for the fourth time.
Yeah.
So it's on November 6th.
American
Justice. And you show up in court every time, right, Sarah?
Yes.
Well,
they call me.
You come out from work, you go to court, you sit there all day, you wait for the case to be called, and then they pull the rug from under your, and then you wonder why people just say, forget about it, I'm not going to.
Well, that's what they're hoping, right? Is that the thing?
That's what she said, that the woman keeps delaying the trial, because most of the time, she said, a great majority of the time, people get tired of waiting, they'll just drop the charges.
Now,
is
this a civil thing or a criminal case? Because if it's a criminal case, that can't happen anyway, because you can't drop the charges in a criminal case. Because that's the state.
Yeah, that actually happened with my son, but he was just 17, he was almost 18. It was like a day or two before his birthday, and he got hit while as a pedestrian, and the guy split from the scene.
Really?
But he was okay.
Yeah.
You know, they took him to the hospital, checked him out and everything, and he just said, you know what, forget about it, I'm not going to press charges. And they said, son, you're a minor, you have no choice.
Yeah.
They're pressing the charges. Now, but they did tell him that if he was an adult, now this may vary from state to state, of course, but they told him that if he was an adult, then he could elect not to press charges.
Yeah, they asked me if I wanted to or not.
Really?
So I chose to press charges.
So she's just thinking that you'll just get tired,
you're
just be sort of like... Mm-hmm.
Did the right thing,
yeah,
pressed charges, and now you're the one who's inconvenienced.
No, and the thing is, the great thing is we're right down the street from the courthouse. So we're going to...
the station isn't as inconvenient as Sarah is.
No, but and more to the point, we're going to be able to do that like thing in the Untouchables, where she's walking up the courthouse steps, we're going to, you know, we can get a whole phalanx of... How do you pronounce that word? I've never said that word out loud before in my life.
I think that's right.
Phalanx? Phalanx? Whatever, a gaggle. A gaggle of reporters to surround her and shout embarrassing questions while thrusting microphones into her face. We're looking forward to it.
Do a remote.
Totally. No.
Drop the microphone out the window.
A remote, and then, like, we could just, and you know, and then, like, have a little kiosk in front of it selling vegetables and T-shirts.
Exactly.
All right. Gary Baumgarten, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
There you go. Gary Baumgarten, live in New York City.
That's a good guy to have on your side.
That's what I'm saying. I knew as soon as I got him out of and his woman hit Sarah's car, and she keeps delaying it, that he would just grab that, like a schnauzer grabbing a bone, and just run with it. Phalanx. Phalanx. F? No. I am five. Phalanx. Phalanx. I believe it's like a gaggle of people. Well, whatever. But here's the best thing about, and we got to play this Dustin Diamond sex tape, and I really never thought I would be using that phrase, but here we are.
Well, just that little bit I saw, he's so desperate.
He really, and ugly.
And ugly.
And looks greasy. Naomi Campbell is due in Manhattan criminal court today, I guess yesterday, to face charges of beating her maid with a crystal-encrusted blackberry. And that just makes you hate somebody. It really does. As soon as you... Who was that woman? Kimora Lee. I saw Kimora Lee, who was Russell Simmons' wife until very recently. I guess they're divorcing now. But she has a blackberry where, like, the buttons are all... Like, the number keys are all rubies. And then, like, the system keys, like, on and off are, like, are diamonds.
That's ridiculous.
And you really... I mean... I'm watching, and I had the urge to pick it up and beat her with it. Just, I mean, it really does, I mean, there's just certain traits that just, you know, absolutely, positively require a beating. And we all know that's true. Anyway, meanwhile, Australians are saying they feel safer than ever flying Qantas now that Naomi Campbell has sworn never to use the airline. Ms. Campbell reportedly, here's a phrase that you don't really hear a lot of people using, reportedly screamed, F Qantas. I am never flying Qantas again at a flight attendant. Who gets angry at Qantas at a flight attendant in Sydney Thursday? The potty-mouthed poser apparently assumed it was a Qantas employee who notified a swarm of press on her arrival from Bangkok. A local paper revealed it was actually a fellow passenger. There you go. And we'll read one more, then I'll finish this millennial thing. Then we'll do the Dustin Diamond sex tape, then we'll break. Coming up, we got the AM 970 Moon News Hour. We got to get music for this gossip segment here, because that's this whole 11:45 has kind of become our gossip segment every day. We have no... Do I have any sort of... We would need some sort of a bed, because all I've got is... Like, I've got this. I've got the... I don't even have that. No, because the screech tape is all queued up. I can't play any of your audio. Katie Holmes promises Tom Cruise another baby.
Yeah.
Batman Begins actress Katie... That's not the last thing she did. No, she did Thank You for Smoking. But other than that, there's nothing. Is that the last studio picture she did, Batman Begins?
I saw her in The President's Daughter.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was. It was like two.
Has promised Tom Cruise another baby after he marries her. The actress who, quote, gave birth, end quote, to the couple's first daughter, Suri, in April, has reportedly promised to make her fiancé's dream of another baby come true as soon as he makes her his wife. Here's the real thing about this. And I know that this is not a thing that I would really talk about, but have you seen the photos of them in GQ? Is that where that was? Those black and white photos of them on the highway? There's these photographs. It was either GQ or Details. I didn't see it in the magazine, but I saw it on some website. They're some of the best photographs I have ever seen of a Hollywood couple. They're fantastic. It's like black and white photos, sort of retro, kind of 50s looking, like Jack Kerouac kind of photos, on like an empty stretch of deserted highway, like in Arizona or someplace. They're beautiful. They're fantastic. They're just amazing photographs. But they're just completely ruined by the fact that it's Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise. Like, if it was somebody else, you'd be like, oh, these are the best ever. But it's like, it's the problem is, it's just, like, as soon as they're in anything, it becomes impossible to appreciate whatever the thing is. While Katie is making promises of another baby, there's still much speculation on whether Suri Cruise belongs to Tom or Chris Klein. Chris Klein recently laughed at rumors saying, quote, I've never been asked that. He lied through his goddamn teeth. I'm really happy for them. Anyway, the couple's wedding, which is rumored to be taking place this autumn, is now reportedly being fast-tracked because she's hoping to get pregnant again by the end of the year. So there you go. Just going to take this and never read it again. There we go. Vanity Fair. I don't know. It's impossible. I don't know.
No, Vanity Fair didn't have the black and white ones.
I don't know. I don't know. I saw them on some of the notes somewhere. Well, let's just play this Screech thing, and then we'll break. So this is from our good friends at TMZ. Now, let me bring this up. This is from, I don't even want to say the name of the movie again, but this is apparently some excerpts from the Dustin Diamond Screech sex tape, which apparently is, I don't think it's on sale now, but apparently it'll be coming soon to a video store near one of your finer movie rental establishments. Is my computer up here? All right. So let's see here if I can. Is this not playing? Is it my computer? Hold on a second. Let me close this. All right, let me try this again. I'm not getting any, sadly, I'm not getting any audio for this.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's just, oh, God, but it's just him. Oh, God, it's him in a bubble bath with votive candles floating everywhere. Oh, that's no good.
You're not getting any?
No, let me close this and reload it again, because I know this is what everybody's just demanding to hear. I know everybody absolutely has to hear this. Let me load this one more time. And if we can't get it here, we'll just take a break.
This is a necessity.
It really is. And if you can just... Where was this still taken from? This still photograph...
It's from the beginning of the film.
Oh, but I mean, you can see it. I think it's at TMZ.com. You can see
I put it on my website, too.
All right. we're loading the site here. Yeah, I'm getting no audio for some reason. I don't know why that is. All right. Well... We'll figure it out. And then it's him. Look, and he looks uncomfortably like Bob Saget at certain points too. I don't know what that's all about. There's a scene here. He is in the bathtub and he's leaning his head back. He's leaning his head back and it's like the O face. And there's a short list of people that you don't ever need to see that from. And he's right at the top. Okay. And he's narrating it himself, Orson Welles style. We'll take a break. We'll see if we can get it to get the audio of that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. We got the new news hour coming up. Later on, we got CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, Jen Lane, and more. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
On AM 970, Solid State Radio.
We had somebody the other day say that they were unclear about how we spell Visa, which is a fair point because I think early on it actually had a different name. It was called Visoda. There was a full name and they shortened it. It's V-I-S-O, Viso, and there is a website, but right now the website's being redesigned. So if you go to visobev.com, I think it's just a placeholder. But you can get it in a lot of places. That's the thing people seem to want to know about. They want to know where you can buy it. You can get it at Zupan's. You can get it at a lot of 7-Elevens, not all of them, and I guess it's some weird, big machination you have to go through to stock it at every 7-Eleven. So from some 7-Elevens you can get it, others you can't. They got the Flying Elephant Deli right down here. You can get it at the Hawthorne. What is that place? The Hawthorne Grocery? What's that store by the place by the liquor store? What's that convenience store there? It's on Hawthorne. It's right by across
the Hawthorne Market?
The Hawthorne Market. You can get it there. You can also get it at Trader Joe's, some locations as well. Visobev.com will be the website. In the meantime, it's enough for you to know that it tastes fantastic. It's got vitamins, minerals, electrolytes, all you need for a day. Some of it's got the caffeine in it. Some of it does not. Some of it is sugar-free. Some of it is organically sweet, but it's all fantastic. And we love it here, so go check it out. Viso, it is more of everything good.
Today, more on the big savings story at Walmart. I'm with...
We're all living history together.
Well, we've got Colgate toothpaste, Tartar Control baking soda, and regular. Just a dollar for the 8.2-ounce tube. Limit of five.
Smile! Tell us more.
All brands Small and Mighty laundry detergent, 32 fluid ounces, only $2. Limit four.
Tidy teas, purified pants.
For a limited time only, so stop by Walmart today.
Clean teeth and underwear. A dream come true.
Offer void where prohibited.
Solid State Radio!
Fantasy of sound. Follow me now.
A note from the engineering department of AM 970. In order to obtain maximum sensory enjoyment from the auditory representations contained herein, it is necessary to minimize load resistance through the potentiometer in one's preamplification section. In other words, listen loudly. Thank you. This is AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Jen, it's Paul. Listen, go to Radio Shack and get me a Sprint camera phone. Why Radio Shack? Because they're number one in wireless customer service. And you can get another camera phone for you absolutely free.
Buy the A640 by Samsung at Radio Shack for $29.99 and get a